Okay, so what I want to start out with is a quick overview, kind of where we've been these past 6 weeks. This is going to be a really quick summary. So week one, we talked about discipleship and liturgy and what those were all about. Does anybody remember or has like a short definition of what discipleship is all about? Short definition of what discipleship is all about.
Follow.
Yeah, follow. Following Jesus. So there was, there was discipleship, following Jesus in order to attach our lives to His, following Him in order to become more like Him, so that increasingly our lives will look more like His life. And also liturgy, we talked about what liturgy was all about. Anybody have a short kind of definition of what liturgy is?
A pattern of worship.
Good, a pattern of worship. So that's where we started. Liturgy and discipleship, and what we've been looking at, of course, is how those two things relate, and particularly how they relate in the way that we at St. Andrew's imagine what it looks like to both worship and follow Jesus here. And so then the second week, we kind of laid a foundation for both liturgy and discipleship. And we said, does anybody remember what we said was the foundation both of liturgy and discipleship, what it all rests on? Does anybody remember? Two things.
Revelation and response.
Revelation and response. Good. Yeah, revelation and response. Revelation means what? What do we mean when we say revelation? Reveal something. Particularly, God is revealing something. He's speaking and acting. God is revealing Himself through His speech and action. And God speaks first. And then as God speaks and reveals Himself, ultimately, as we acknowledge, God is revealing Himself in Jesus. That's God's ultimate revelation is Jesus. And particularly Jesus living and dying and rising again. So God revealing Himself to us, and then us responding. And so it kind of creates this pattern of listen and respond. Which brought us to something that characterized our worship service. So it doesn't just happen in one part of our worship service, in one part of our lives. It's kind of the whole thing. We said that it's characterized by prayer, praise, and even silence. Does anybody remember what prayer, praise, and silence, what they're kind of all about? What we're getting at in a life of prayer, praise, and silence? Anybody remember? We said attentiveness. Attentiveness. To what? I can't spell. Pretend like that says attentiveness. attentiveness to what?
To God.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Sunday school answer fits this time. Yeah. What's the answer? Jesus? God? Yes. That's right. Yeah. Attentiveness to God. Becoming present to God's presence. We talked about how we live in a world in which it's really easy for us to check out. In the places that matter most, to check out. And what prayer, praise, and silence does is it's a way for us to check in.
Is that our GPS?
Say what? It's our GPS. It's our spiritual GPS. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said.
Yeah. It's a way for us to check in. Check in to where we are, but also to what God is up to in our lives. Because He's always at work. He's always at work. So prayer, praise, and silence. And then week four, we started to look at the shape of the liturgy. Remember we said that the worship service itself kind of has this narrative kind of pattern to it. And we said that the narrative, if you look at it like it's like a plot line, it climaxes in two points. The proclamation of the gospel through what?
Reading this daily scripture.
Yes, yeah, reading the scripture through the word and the sermon. So proclamation of the gospel through the word and The table, the sacrament, that's right. And so in week 4 and 5, we talked about hearing the gospel through the word. And then week 5, and this is last week, we talked about touching the gospel through the table. And so maybe what you can start to see is that, I mean, all this stuff fits together. All this is fitting together. Maybe you can see how revelation and response, like this pattern of listening and responding, really has to do with everything that's going on in here. How prayerfulness and attentiveness, like, go with hearing the gospel and touching the gospel, becoming present to God's presence. And it has everything to do with the pattern through which, the pattern by which we live our lives, the pattern by which we follow Jesus. Remember that kind of way back in week 1 and 2, we talked about how we're always being formed. Another way to say that is that there's no neutral space. Everything, all things, big things, small things, good things and bad things, are all shaping us into someone's image. And so the question is, into whose image are you being shaped? What ultimate thing, what ultimate love is pulling you along? So this is just a big snapshot of kind of all the places that we've gone. So what I want to do is touch on, kind of wrap up where we went in week 5, and then say a little bit about what we're nailing down this week. And how did I word it, actually? I've worded this different ways. Witnessing to the gospel, that's what I said. Witnessing to the gospel. Witnessing to the gospel. So before we get there, though, let's kind of come back around and talk about the table and sacrament and how that relates to the way that we live our life. Last week we affirmed that a sacrament is just it's a tangible, it's a concrete means of grace. A tangible, concrete means of grace. So when we come to the table, we're touching, we're tasting, not the grace itself, but the avenue through which Jesus is inviting us to surrender to his love. We said that things are not means of grace on accident, that they're received in faith. Sacraments are received in faith by being offered to God. So that kind of, again, this is all connected. It kind of goes back to that attentiveness and intentionality. Doesn't happen by accident. We talked about one of the things that's affirmed at the table is that God is truly present with us. That's the main thing. God is truly here. And it's a mystery. By God's Spirit, in his mystery, he is present to us, inviting us to come and to surrender to him. Surrender to his presence. Surrender to the redemption that is being remembered and at work there. Okay, so last week we're emphasizing the fact that the table is all about surrender to God's grace. I suggested that this week kind of what we're talking about is how the big T table extends to our little T tables. And again, this is connecting with what we've been emphasizing the whole time, that there's a connection here. So the big T table extends to our little T tables. And what I mean by that is everything that's kind of wrapped up in the table. And we've kind of named some different things that are going on there that are emphasized there. God's forgiveness, his reconciliation, his offering of himself to us. All of that doesn't stay here. It's bursting forth around our tables. And I emphasize, so I mean that in two different ways. I mean it kind of metaphorically, you know, in the sense of like it goes out. It doesn't stay in the worship service. The things that we affirm, the things that we do with our bodies, it happens out there, not just in here. But I also mean it pretty literally. Think about what your little t tables are like. Think about what you do there. Think about who gathers there, the types of conversations that are had or not had. Think about where you sit, how you sit. What I'm suggesting is that, for instance, like the reconciliation. Like in at the big T table, we are affirming that God is reconciling all things to himself in Christ. And the way that this works is that what we're shooting for is for that reconciliation to get real around our table. That we not only are striving for reconciliation, but we're relating to one another on the basis of the fact that God has reconciled us. All right, come back to me with questions. I know that was kind of a big concept. How is that sitting with you guys? That picture of big T table to little T table. Does it evoke any questions or any comments? Yeah.
I just have a feedback. I really like that concept because in the modern world, we really need to reconcile with each other, either
yeah.
within our family or with the your fellowship church friends.
Yeah.
Because modern life is not easy. And,
yeah.
And we need to rely on God. And
yeah.
So from the big table to the small table, that's really
yeah.
a good inspiration.
Yeah, good. Other questions or thoughts that that evokes?
Everything that is at that little tea table is from him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. It is another place of gratefulness. Every little tea table can be a Thanksgiving. Good.
And if the little tea table is not from the big tea table, something can go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's not, yeah, that's good. That's really good. If it's not informed by that, then as you guys know, often our little tea tables can be completely characterized by antagonism
yeah.
and conflict. And often we avoid our little tea tables. We avoid sitting across from one another and looking each other in the eye.
Oh, what do I
yeah.
have
yeah.
to avoid.
My kids are at that age where we may not have them sit with us at the little tea table.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I mean that in a lot of different ways. Maybe we just don't talk for a while or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're just busy in this.
Life. Yeah.
And it's always so just heartwarming when you have that good conversation with them again and you reconnect and you rejuvenate with each other.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's that reminder of, wow, I've missed this.
Yeah.
And I need this.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. 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 So there's a lot more to say about that, but I kind of just want to leave it to linger in your minds and kind of chew over it. Talk to God about the possibilities of what he's doing in your life, in your actual little tea tables, but just in your ordinary life. So I'm going to leave it at that, but then kind of cast a vision for what I'm talking about, the type of surrender that I'm talking about, and a really good place to see where this is illustrated is in Romans 12. Romans 12. Because what we've been getting at is we've been talking about the sacrament. We talked about how in the Anglican Church there are two main sacraments, and big S sacraments, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Places where God's grace is communicated to us. But what I'm suggesting in this relationship of discipleship and liturgy is what we see here is that because of the main sacrament, because of what God has done in Christ and continues to unfold in the world by his Spirit, that all things, all of life, can be sacramental. So I know that's kind of a fancy word, So if that word is tripping you up, don't worry about it. Because what I'm emphasizing is that all of life can be an opportunity to encounter God's grace. The big things, the small things, the most ordinary, simple, gritty, earthy things. Stuff as ordinary as bread and wine. Because that, you know what that's supposed to symbolize? It symbolizes Jesus' body and blood, but it also symbolizes just our ordinary stuff. I mean, in our culture, it's not, you know, having a meal with bread and wine maybe isn't, it doesn't strike us immediately as, that's supposed to be ordinary stuff. So what we're emphasizing here, and when we say that discipleship is sacramental, it means that all of life, all the stuff of life, is the arena. It's the grounds where God wants to make real to us his salvation, his mercy, his reconciliation. So that's why if I'm trying to answer the question, where does God want to work his transformation in me? I might start with the question, well, where's the most tension in my life? Where's the most tension in my life?
How about right there?
Yeah, it can be.
That's going to be a new thing.
That will turn my life upside down. And the thing is that's so good that you mentioned that, because my world's going to change, which people have been telling me for the past 9 months. Now, there's two ways for me to see that. One is that's good, but it's mostly a problem because it's getting in the way of me living my life. And the more that I can manage it and control it and like make sure that I have mastery over it, the better. Or I can see that turning of my life upside down, the loss of control and sleep, the loss of that as the ground in which God wants to soften my heart so that I can receive from him in ways that I may have never received from him before.
The first time that little person puts his little hand, her,
yeah,
around,
yeah,
your little finger,
yeah,
your heart will melt.
Yeah.
And you will just,
yeah,
there will be more love in you than you ever knew you could have.
Yeah.
True. That first drive from the hospital is very revealing.
You know? That's a good way.
Revealing.
Yes.
It's kind of like an organic process.
Yeah.
Before the flower blooms in front of your eyes, it's very hard for you to pre-plan or preconceive how you're going to enjoy the flower until you see it. Mm.
Yeah.
So when the baby,
yeah,
is in your arms,
yeah,
that organic process will take place.
Yeah. Good. I really like that. Thanks, guys.
Are you
appreciate
excited?
That. You're, yeah, I'm really excited.
Excited for you.
I'm really excited. So, and just think for a minute, kind of to yourselves, like, what is that area of your life? That gritty, ordinary, maybe it's even a reoccurring area. Maybe it's something that you're familiar with, but maybe it's that place where you're saying, not there. Where is it that God wants to say, that's the place where I want to teach you who you are, who I am?
Right here. Everybody, this is Miles. He's one of those 30 cousins I moved here to be near. And don't blush. It's okay. And I brought Miles and one of his sisters to church this morning.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new world. You know, trying to keep them,
yeah,
in control and learning,
yeah,
about the Lord. And
good.
Looks like he's doing a good job with that.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good,
and he comes over, may I tell? He comes over to check on his Miss Bo every day when he gets home from school.
Hmm.
Just to make sure I'm okay.
That's, yeah,
so sweet. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, glad to have you here, Miles. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Glad you're here, man. So when you identify that place, and if you haven't, that's okay. But when you kind of, that ordinary place, that ordinary thing, often a place of tension, but it doesn't have to be. This is where the sacramental bit comes in. This is where we're going to see that parallel between what we do with ourselves and the table and what we do on Sunday mornings. So this is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You guys are familiar with this. And so remember that Paul has just spent the last 11 chapters unfolding God's righteousness in Christ. Unfolding how, if you were in Christ, you have been transferred into a new realm. How God has poured out his mercy while we were still sinners. And how, I mean, there's so much that happens, but it all has to do with what God has done in Christ and how that is offered to us freely. And then he says, and then Paul says, so all that in the background, all that God has done in Christ. So remember, this kind of like matches what's going on Sunday morning. Remember, because we're hearing the gospel, we're hearing all that God has done in Christ and continues to do by the Spirit. When that Eucharistic prayer starts, when it says, the Lord is here and the Spirit is with us, lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord, then we start hearing again the story of all that God has done and continues to do in Christ. And then Paul says, therefore, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So in view of, in light of, based on, grounded in, anchored in, tethered to everything that God has done in Christ, offer your bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. This is your what?
Reasonable service.
Your reasonable service.
True and proper service.
True and proper. This is, and that word service is a word for worship.
It's worship.
This is your worship, right? So you seeing how these like these tendons are starting to get connected here? In view of God's mercy, in view of his offer of grace and life, what do? You throw your body on the grace. You offer yourself unto God's grace and life. And what does this lead to? What does this lead to? This leads to not being, in there in verse 2, it leads to not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will then be able to, often translations say test and approve, which is fine. I like the word discern. So that you will be able to discern what the Lord's will is. See, often this is the way that my life works, is I get to one of these places where there's like lots of tension, and what I want to cut straight to is, God, tell me what your will is. Tell me what you want me to do. But what Paul says is that like discerning the will part comes on the other side of surrender. You see that? Then you will be able to discern what the Lord's will is. So this is the picture of how discipleship is sacramental. Is that in response to God's grace, in response to the invitation to come to him, we offer our bodies. We offer whatever, and we talked a little bit about this with prayer, praise, and silence. We can only come to God exactly as we are. Offering to God who we are, whatever's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, and asking, God, what does it look like for me to trust you with this? If it's true, for instance, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that there is now no condemnation, then what does that mean for what I'm going through? Okay, so I know that's a lot to chew on again, but that's like big picture. The discipleship sacramental life is offering our bodies, surrendering ourselves to God's grace. Surrendering ourselves to God's grace in all of life. Okay, I know this is quick, but we are going to move to that last bit of the worship service. So at the very end, we have the benediction and the sending, right? So you get to the very end, and there's a blessing that's prayed. We send you out. Benediction and sending. What is that all about? Well, here's what it's about. So what we've gone through this pattern of, we've heard the gospel, like God has spoken, right? We've heard the gospel. We've encountered the gospel. We've touched it. And so the next step in that pattern of hearing, encountering, the next step is witnessing. hearing, encountering, witnessing. So what we affirm is going on at the table. God's presence, his reconciling of all things, is not contained in the table. God's presence by the Spirit is at loose in the world. Because God is on mission. That's one of the things that, you know, we affirm here, is that God is on mission, that he is inviting us to himself, but he is also at work in the world. He's not, as Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, I think, when Stephen's about to get killed, he says, God is not contained in temples made by man, right? So God is at loose, he's at work in the world, his mission and his purposes are going forth, and we are invited to be participants in it. We are invited, as we go out from this place, to be witnesses to the reality that we hear proclaimed. So we hear it, we encounter it, we witness to it. So is what I'm saying making sense here, that pattern? That Jesus has, that God has given himself and his Son for the life of the world. And we are sent from celebrating that reality here to witnessing to it for the sake of the world. Not only for, it is for us in our salvation, but it's also for the sake of the world, for the life of the world, blessed in order to be a blessing. So this is that pattern that was set way back in Genesis 12 when God called Abraham. He didn't say, I want to bless you in order just to bless your socks off, which he did. He said, I want to bless you so that through you, you would be a blessing. Blessed in order to be a blessing. And this is what this means. This means that what God is working in us, he wants to also work through us. In the benediction and the sending, what we're affirming is that what God wants to work in us, he also wants to work through us. And you can kind of turn that the other way, too. You can turn it in the way of what God wants to do through you, he also wants to first do in you. But that pattern still remains, in and through. So here's a picture that it makes a lot of sense for me. I hope it'll make sense for you guys. Is that what it means to be God's witnesses is it means that we, for the world, we are our lives are a real life movie preview of where God is taking the world. Our lives are like a real, to be a witness means that our lives are a real life movie preview of where God is taking the world. So what that's affirming is that what God has willed into the world in Christ cannot be stopped. It cannot be thwarted. Like that's something that Scripture affirms, that his desire, his will to reconcile things to himself, it can't be stopped. That's where the world is going. But we are like invited into that. We're pulled into that as participants. And we get to be little movie previews of that for the world. Does that make sense? Okay. So another way to think about this, like sometimes the end is called the dismissal. What's interesting, and this is just kind of a for-your information kind of thing that helps catch an imagination for this. That word, dismissal, let's use a different color. Dismissal. Within that word, and I probably just spelled that wrong, there's probably just one S there. But again, pretend like I spelled it correctly. I think there is just one S. That's okay. Or maybe there's two. I don't know.
That's good. That's good. That's it.
In the dismissal, that's the thing at the end. And usually to dismiss means to just like, it's over. It's over. Within this word dismissal is a Latin word. And don't be impressed with me because I don't know Latin. I just happen to know this. Is this word missile. It's a Latin word which means to be sent. And which is actually, it comes from the very end of, it is a part of the Roman Catholic Church, but I mean, by affirming that, we're affirming it's been a part of the church for hundreds of years. And at the very end of a Roman Catholic service, the priest says, "Ite missae est," And that's where the name for a Roman Catholic service, that's where the name Mass comes from. It actually comes from that the very last thing that the priest says. And it means to be sent. Ite, so go, go, you are sent. And that's what we're affirming, is that the transformation that is witnessed to, that's proclaimed, that gets worked into our lives, that we are sent out to be on mission, to be witnesses for that reality. So the move is that we're gathered together, we're lifted up, we're lifting our hearts up into God's presence, and then we're sent out. We're sent out. We're sent out to be, and if we're kind of making that connection between table and table, we're sent out to be representatives of the family. It's like we gather around the table and we remember who we are. Oh, that's who I am. God wants to teach me that today. And so then we're sent out to represent that. To be a movie preview of God's work in the world. So again, as it relates to discipleship, what we're looking at is that what God wants to do in us, he also wants to do through us. For the sake of the world. So there's much more to say about this, and this is actually a good month to kind of reflect on it because this is Missions Month at St. Andrew's. So part of what we're affirming in this is we're not just doing missions projects. The implication of this is missions, like we kind of said with discipleship, is not just one of those things on the checklist of things that you can do to be a good Christian. It's like, oh, I did a missions project, checked it off. Now, what do we got now? Bible study, got it, checked off. But actually, all of us are missionaries. Inasmuch as we're gathered into God's redemption and reconciliation of all things, that we are in Christ in that way, we are gathered to be his witnesses, to witness to that reality. Both in the big sense of what God has done and is doing, and also in the particular sense of how that's getting real in our lives. So not just doing missions as a project, but living a life on mission is how we frame it up here at St. Andrew's. Living a life on mission, which starts wherever you are. Of course, it doesn't mean we have to, although some people, God calls some people to do this, to go somewhere else. It starts right where you are, in your neighborhoods, in your job. For some of us, under our roof, our own roof. Okay, so we've got...
It's 10:50,
Seth. Awesome. Thanks, Paul. I planned that well. I just finished my notes. Look at that. I know this is... All of this has been a lot. Today has been a lot. What kind of questions and comments do you have? It could be about today or about anything that you've been reflecting on or that you've noticed over the past 6 weeks. Where are you guys at with some of this, Paul?
Just for me to be clear, when we are talking about salvation, are we talking about salvation from a literal, eternal hell to a literal, eternal heaven?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the crux of the matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do not talk about it enough.
Yeah.
When we are witnessing to the world, we are talking about being saved from a literal, eternal hell to a literal eternal heaven.
Yeah.
It's not just so that we have a nice life here on earth.
Good, yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I like the from and for. Saved from life apart from God, which is hell. It's death. But saved not just from that, but for life with God now. And forever.
And forever.
Yeah. Good. What else? What other questions or comments or stuff have you been chewing on over the past 6 weeks?
I really like when you said blessed in order to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Really like that.
Yeah.
Which is what you're saying about witnessing and being a disciple.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I'm learning about that, and this is hard for me. This is God, part of God's slow work in my life, is that in God's grace, under the cross, the place of my greatest brokenness is a place that God can transform into the way that I can bless the world. Does that make sense? I know that's kind of big. Yeah, bless in order to be a blessing. God doesn't want to just point out my brokenness so that he can set it on fire and move on. He wants to take that place of brokenness and under the cross transform it into a place of blessing for the world. That's the cross. Brokenness becomes blessing.
And that's all about being transparent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not trying to say the right thing or, you know, being transparent.
Yeah, good.
It's the place of your complete surrender and humility.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Good. Well, we've run out of time once again. Two things.